What did you want to do before you became a Beatle?
Nothing. I didn't want to do anything else. Honest.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
McCartney is an amazing songwriter and an amazing bass player.
Close your eyes and I kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day. And I'll send all my loving to you.
Fame for his violin bass. I mean, he started out playing guitar, and he didn't switch to bass till later, I think in the Hamburg days.
He lifts the thing musically all the time, you know. Very melodic, great ear for, oh, the bass could do this and change the whole complexity of the chord and the sound of the chord.
Any lane is in my ear and in my eye.
It didn't take long for people to cotton on to the fact that there were these remarkable, very musical bass lines appearing in all the Beatles songs. If you listen to even the earlier stuff, it kind of has a singing quality. His bass playing reflects his vocal style in many ways.
First lingering memory of him is how he went round us all, round the rest of the group, round myself and my wife and indeed Brian Epstein, the roadies and everybody, and asked them what they wanted to drink. And then said, right, it's doubles all round, eh, lads? And off he went to the bar and he ordered up all these drinks. And when the guy behind the bar eventually gave him the price of £2.14 and threepence or whatever it was, only then did Paul go, Brian! So although the genial host, Paul McCartney, had been seen to host the occasion and buy a round in, it was Brian Epstein who actually paid for it, picked up the tab. Now that was typical of Paul McCartney. He could get away with murder. Over the years, I think he must have smoked thousands of cigarettes of mine. It got to such a stage in the end that I started putting cigarettes down on my expenses each month when I put them into Brian Epstein, and he didn't query it at all, paid up like a lamb.
Paul, what sort of music are you going to have at your party in Sydney?
Oh,
you're having a party?
Yeah, you want to come?
No,
yeah.
No, no.
You're in fact,
I'll have one of these. I don't know, any kind, you know. Rock and roll. You know, the kind of music that we like.
Rhythm and blues.
Rhythm and blues, rock and roll.
Don't dig the classics, of course.
Yes, a little bit, you know.
Is that don't, American dig?
Don't exactly make party swing, do they? You know. Oh, Beethoven, he's all right.
If you put it on fast, it goes like
fast.
Always gets a laugh.
It's a riot. But, otherwise,
true,
he normally sends them home.
Paul did Little Richard a lot and a few obscure Elvis tracks. And show tunes, he turned into his own, you know, like Till There Was You and Wooden Heart. And Besame and and Mucho. Paul had this cross-section of things which he liked to perform. And he could always do Little Richard's.
Paul McCartney, according to all reports, was the worst of the four for turning up late. And there's a marvellous quote, which you've probably heard, but I will repeat it, that when they went for their first meeting with Epstein, John, Peter, Best, and George arrived for the appointment. They were a little late, but not too much. But Paul hadn't turned up, and they were sitting there an hour. And in the end, Epstein was getting quite annoyed about this, because, you know, he's a businessman and he's got a shop to run. And George said, well, I'll ring him up then and see where he is. So he rings Paul, and Paul's having a bath. And he lived, remember, he lived 7 miles from the city centre. And Epstein's sort of very annoyed about this, and he said, he's going to be very late then, isn't he? And George said, yeah, but it'll be very clean.
From Me to You, the Beatles' third single, constructed in a very clever way where the verses and the choruses have completely different obvious chiming changes. Again, unbelievable middle eight, and also a change from the first two singles where they're slightly more obscure in the way in their chord changes, etc. I think basically they're beginning to get a formula, but it's the middle eights and the verses and the changes from the verses to the chorus that give them the keys, and the harmonies between John and Paul which make it very clever.
Construction is all important, really. It's just the sort of interplay between the voices, and the message of the song is like from me to you. What a wonderful way to establish a relationship, really, not only between the guy and the girl that they're singing about, but also between the band and its audience. Somehow the Beatles are giving you something. And I think that's a kind of magical, original idea. And just shows you how well Beatles songs were being constructed right from the start.
From me to you, just call on me, and I'll send it along with love. From me to you.
I thought it was a bit stodgy, and not as exciting as other tracks of the Beatles. You know, it is a bit jog-trotty and kind of, you can again feel the effort. I suppose that's always a sign that a track isn't really happening to the maximum. Maybe it's the song, maybe it's just the way they played it on the day.
One of the rather subtle things about this is the repeat of the introduction as the sort of closing few bars. I mean, it starts in C major, it's unproblematic. But we move from C major to a minor. And at the very end, you get something like that. So that you actually end in the minor. Now, why on earth would you end a song like this in the minor, where it's basically a major key song? It's just a suggestion, perhaps, that it's an indication that she won't actually call.
Just call on me.
There was only one song that I was